Let's take our Bibles this morning, and I want you to go to the first book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter 9, helping others build bridges to reach the world. You know, we learned 2 weeks ago that there is a huge gap that exists between mankind and God, and that gap is there because of sin. The gap is there because of our sin. God is holy, we're sinners, and there's a gap. Well, can you tell me, church, who came to bridge the gap? Jesus Christ came to bridge the gap through His death on the cross. And the Bible declares that He died for our sins. Are you glad for that today? He died for our sins. He came to bridge the gap between us and God. Now, last week we learned that God wants to use you to be somebody's bridge to bring them to the bridge, Jesus Christ. And God wants to use you to be a bridge to reach your family, to reach your friends, to reach your associates, those that you rub shoulders with out there in the world. God wants to use you to be a bridge to them. But let me share with you the shocking reality of something. Did you know that if every believer on the planet, every believer, every Christian on the planet, did you know that if they won to Christ, everybody in their sphere of influence, if you won everyone that you know that doesn't know Christ, and if I won everyone in my sphere of influence that doesn't know Christ, and if every believer did that in the world, did you know there would still be huge gaps? There would still be millions of people who have never heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are still gaps all over this world that need a bridge. I mean, think about it. In the world we live in today with TV, internet, radio, satellites, and with all the modern day communication tools that we have, this is going to shock you. But in your handout, I'm going to give you a statistic. These are up-to-date statistics. 1.8 billion people have never been confronted or heard of the good news of Jesus Christ. I didn't say thousand. I didn't say million. I said what? Billion. Now let that, just kind of meditate on that a second. 1.8 billion souls are out there living and breathing that have never, ever, one time heard of Jesus Christ and what He did. Let me give you another shocker. In your handout, it says, organized Christianity has no contact with 500 million people in the world today. So now we're not talking about people who have never heard it. We're talking about people that don't even realistically have the opportunity, even if they wanted to hear it today, couldn't hear it. 500 million people that Christianity has no contact with. In other words, there's been no inroad to them. There's been no bridge built to get to those 500 million people. No bridges have been built yet by anybody. Now get a load of this. There are 11,643 known people groups in the world. 11,643. Out of those 11,500 plus people groups, 3,414 of those people groups are currently unreached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are an unreached people group. No one has ever been able to successfully build a bridge to get to those people. Would you agree with me that we have a lot of bridge building to do? And in your handout it says this is where we must understand the concept of missions. You see, there are gaps that need a bridge. Now, while you cannot possibly reach all of the 1.8 billion people that have never heard of Christ, they've never heard of the cross, they've never heard of the resurrection, while you can't reach the 1.8 billion, you know what you can do? Hey, you can help other people build bridges to reach those people. Now, next week, we're going to have four bridge builders here. We're going to have four men and their families standing before us that want to build bridges. One of these families want to go to the Ivory Coast of Africa and build bridges. Another one wants to go to Arctic Siberia. Another one wants to go to the Ukraine. Another one wants to go to Wales. And they want to go to these areas to build bridges to these people so that they will have the opportunity to hear of the Lord Jesus Christ and the sin payment that He made on the cross for them. But these families need our help. They need us to join hands with them. If our lives are to have true meaning and true impact, then we've got to be involved in worldwide bridge building by helping other people build bridges. You say, Pastor Dan, that sounds great. How are we going to accomplish it? Number one in your handout, I want to give you three quick thoughts. Number one, first thing you got to do, you must understand the heart of Jesus Christ. You will never get involved in being a worldwide bridge builder until you first understand the heart of our Savior. Now go to Matthew 9, and please look down with me at verse 36. Matthew 9, and please look at verse 36. But when He, Jesus, saw the multitudes, I want you to look at that next phrase. When He saw the multitudes, what was Christ moved with? Compassion. Why? Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And He said to His disciples, the harvest truly is what, church? It's plenteous, but there is a problem. There's an issue. There's plenty of people out of those 1.8 billion that would love to know that their sins could be forgiven and that a way's been made. The problem isn't the harvest. What's the problem according to that verse? Laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He'll send forth laborers into His harvest. You see, our Savior has a heart. In your handout, it says He has a heart of compassion. A heart of compassion. He was moved with compassion. When He talked about laborers, that would be equivalent to what we would call a missionary. Do you know what a missionary is? A missionary is a person undertaking a mission. A missionary is a person undertaking a mission. The Northcutts are undertaking a mission. They want to go to the Arctic Siberia and build some bridges to some people groups that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because they have compassion for those people. Why in the world would somebody want to leave America, go to the Ivory Coast of Africa and live? Because they are moved with compassion. Why would somebody want to pick their family up, take all those children, 6, 7 kids, and go to the Ukraine? Because they're moved with compassion for those people. Jesus was moved with compassion as He saw these people. But number two, I want you to see number two, that our Savior has a heart of grace. A heart of grace. There's a story in the Bible about a man named Zacchaeus. How many of you have ever heard the story of Zacchaeus? Was Zacchaeus a big guy or a little guy? Yeah, he's a little guy. And a lot of you know that because you remember the song, don't you? Zacchaeus was a
wee man.
And a wee little man. Well, we have a rich church here that's rich and deep in doctrine. Amen. He was a wee little man, and he heard that Jesus was coming in Luke 19, and so he was little, he couldn't see. So the Bible says he climbed a what kind of tree? Sycamore tree, to see what he could see. He wanted to see Christ, and I love the story. Jesus comes, stops right under the tree, and looks up at the guy. Don't you love that? Jesus looks right up at him. He says, Zacchaeus, make haste and what? Come on now. Why? Because I'm going to abide at your house today. That's exactly what he did. Jesus goes into this man's house. Does anybody remember what Zacchaeus was? What was his profession? Publican, tax collector, chief publican, chief tax collector. Do you know what tax collectors were back in those days in Israel? Swine. They were just swine. I know some of you feel that way about them today, but you're looking at me like, yeah. But they were. They were known as some of the biggest sinners because they just extorted the people left and right. They would take, you know, they would charge them extra so they would get money of their own. They were known as a very much just kind of underhanded, crooked group, the publicans. He was the chief publican. When Jesus goes into his house to eat, I want you to look at this verse from the text. Luke 19:7 says, "And when they saw it," the religious crowd saw what Jesus did, "they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that's a sinner." You remember the Matthew party last week? And you remember how the religious crowd didn't like him going into Matthew's house and eating with publicans and sinners? The same thing happens in Luke 19. They begin to murmur. How could this one that's supposed to be the Messiah go in and eat with a man that's such a sinner? And do you know what Jesus' response was in that text? I'm going to bring it up on the screen. Look at it with me. Jesus said this, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was what?
Lost.
Would you agree with me that we have a Savior with a heart of grace? Oh, He's a God of all grace. Number three, our Savior has a heart for all people. Now, this is where I want you to go to the book of Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts 26. Just keep moving to the right. Acts chapter 26, almost towards the end of the book of Acts. Acts 26. And we're going to look at what Jesus said to Paul when Paul got saved. When the apostle Paul got saved and Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus, look what Jesus said to him in verse 16. Acts 26, 16. "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose." He said, "to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee." Now look at verse 17. He said, "I'm going to deliver you from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee." So why was Christ going to send Paul out to all the Gentile nations? Why was he going to do that? Look at verse 18. Here's the purpose. "To open their" what?
Eyes.
"To turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God." Why? "That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance," speaking of heaven, "among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Hey, do you know why Jesus raised up Paul? Because Jesus didn't want anybody excluded. Look in your handout, if you'll look at it with me. 1 Timothy 2:4. The Bible says that God will have... Okay, now you got to look at that and you got to see that. 1 Timothy 2:4. God will have how many men to be saved? All men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Why? Look at two verses later. He tells you why. Because Jesus Christ gave himself a ransom for how many? This was all given to Paul, see, to be testified in due time. Look at 2 Peter 3:9. Look what Peter says near the end of his ministry. Peter began to understand this. He said, "The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Can I tell you, church, that this is Christ's heart. This is His mission. This is His vision. And Jesus is calling you to be a part of it. Will you join hands with the Savior and accomplish His heart's desire? You see, our existence on this earth is not simply about us. It's like the choir sung. You know, this song right here, "Jesus, Lover of My Soul." And I love the part in the song here where it says, "It's all about You, Jesus, and this is all for You, for Your glory and Your fame. It's not about me, as if You should do things my way. You alone are God, and I surrender to Your ways." That's the Christian life, folks. It's realizing that it doesn't revolve around me. It's not about me. It's about Christ. It's about His mission, His vision, and His heart. It's my life is not about Dan Proctor's desires and thirst for more material things. That's just going to leave you ultimately empty anyway. God's plan for your life is so much more meaningful than getting up, going to work, drawing a paycheck, spending it on yourself, acquiring as many things and as much as you can, and then die and leave it all to somebody else. There's more to life than that. There's a whole lot more to life than just seeing how much stuff we can get and then die and leave it to somebody else. Our life is about Jesus Christ, and it's about His desire for people to be saved, to be forgiven of their sins, to be brought into a right relationship with God through His cross work. Can I share something with you, real simple principle? Is that your life is here, and the reason why you're saved this morning is so that heaven will be more populated because you lived your life here on earth. And you all just look at me. Yeah, all right, whatever. Do you understand that there ought to be people in heaven because you live 60 or 70 years down here? Or 80 or 90?
You say, I'm planning on living 100.
All right, 100. But there's supposed to be people in heaven because of the difference you made? What a shame to live life, make money, acquire possessions, die, leave it all to somebody else, and our life not have made a difference eternally for somebody else. You see, Jesus is the supreme bridge builder. And He's looking for people who will help build spiritual bridges in the world. I mean, these people just want to go build bridges. And why? They understand the heart of Jesus. A heart of compassion, a heart of grace, a heart that wants all people to be saved. And they understand that. And their heart is burning within them and yearning to be able to go to these areas and build bridges. They just need somebody who will catch that vision, that mission, and join hands with them. Number two, if we're going to help others build bridges to reach the world, it's going to take leaving your comfort zone. As I said earlier, God raised up the Apostle Paul because God's plan was that through Paul, all nations might hear the marvelous work that Christ did on the cross. Paul said that, I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office. Do you all know what a Gentile is? A Gentile is anybody that's not a Jew. You got Jews and Gentiles. Well, here was the problem, okay? Let me tell you what the issue was and the problem in the early church. The truth of Jesus Christ and His resurrection before Paul came along had never left the boundary of the Jewish community. The 12 apostles, who were all Jews, had confined their ministry to their own people, their own nation, Israel. And it wasn't in disobedience or rebellion. They knew the prophetic plan. All that had been revealed up to that point was the prophetic plan. And that is, Israel would be converted first. And then through their conversion, the message would eventually go out to the Gentile nations. And through Israel, God's blessing would come to the nations. So they're out there trying to convert the nation of Israel, but they're not going outside of that nation. But you see, God had other plans, a mystery hidden, that the 12 didn't know about. And God was going to reveal to Paul, the Apostle Paul, this new apostle, some special revelation about the cross of Christ. And that Christ had made an offering for all people, not just Israel and their sins, that Jesus Christ made a payment on the cross that was enough for the sins of every person in every nation. And God was going to send salvation in His grace to all nations, despite Israel's rebellion. But in order for Paul's ministry to be accepted by the church out there to the Gentiles, you know what God had to do? God had to do some preparatory work. So in your handout, it says that God sent Peter to the house of a Gentile named Cornelius. You say, why? This is a Gentile man that needed a Savior. Now look with me at Acts chapter 10. Will you take your Bible and turn back to Acts chapter number 10? Let's all turn back there. Let's look at this. Acts 10 verse 2. It describes Cornelius in Acts 10 verse number 2. It says that he was a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. So Cornelius was a good man, I guess you could say, all right, by the world standards. He was a moral man. He was a religious man. But can I ask you a question? Was Cornelius a sinner? Yes or no? Sure he was. He was a sinner just like the rest of us. So he was a religious man, but he was lost. He needed a Savior. He did not know of Jesus Christ, and he needed somebody to be a bridge. Now, here's what happened. God told Cornelius, I want you to send for a guy named Peter in Joppa. Cornelius obeys and sends some guys to go fetch Peter to bring him back to Cornelius' house. They go to get Peter. Here was the problem, that Peter would never go to a Gentile's house because it was forbidden by his culture and by his Jewish law. He could not go and eat with the Gentiles. They were considered unclean. So Peter, he would never go into a Gentile's house. It wouldn't be acceptable. It wouldn't be comfortable for Peter. It would have gotten him in hot water with his colleagues. So God has to prepare Peter's heart, and he does. So that when the knock comes on the door, Peter opens up the door. Here's these guys sending for him to go to Cornelius' house. So what did he do? Look down with me at verse 23. It says, then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter, and what's the next two words? Peter what? He went away with them. And certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them. Remember this verse? He called together his kinsmen and near friends. In your handout, it says that God literally had to prod Peter out of his comfort zone. And eventually, Peter did go. And Cornelius and his entire household believed Peter's message about Jesus Christ. Why? Why is it that all these people got saved? In your handout, it says because one man left his comfort zone. And he went and he built a bridge to these people. One man left his comfort zone. One man! One man left his comfort zone, and he went and he built a bridge to these people. Now let's apply this. Did you know that there are Corneliuses all over this world? They just need a bridge. Now you say, well, okay, what's that have to do with me? God may want you to go and be a bridge builder somewhere. Maybe God wants you to be more involved in helping others to build bridges through your financial help. I mean, I'm going to bring up these missionary families again, and they would not say this as bluntly as I'm going to say it, but I can tell you right now, they need our help. You don't just go to Arctic Siberia and get a job and support yourself. Okay? They need help. They need churches. They need Christians who will say, we believe in you. And we want to build bridges in the Ukraine. We want to build bridges in Ivory Coast. We want to build bridges in Arctic. We want to build bridges in Wales. And we're going to stand behind you in our prayers. We're going to stand behind you financially. And we're going to be involved in helping you build bridges to these people. That's missions. That's missions. You know, this is something that I probably don't explain very much. And I don't say a lot about it. And I probably should explain it more. Because last week when we did the mission survey, we had a lot of people, almost everybody said they were concerned about missions. They're concerned, their heart's concerned about it. But then there were a whole lot of people that said that they either very occasionally or never give to missions. You say, I don't even know how. And so I thought about that, and I'm going to bring this up. This is a typical looking offering envelope at our church. And some of you may not even know what it means. But this right here says, my grace giving to the Lord. This first line, That's monies that come into Crossroads to help us do ministry. I mean, this is for our local church to help us pay the electric bill and the water bill and all the different expenses so that we can continue to minister. That's where the first line goes, is it goes here to help support the ministry of Crossroads so that we can get the gospel out to Daytona. But then the next line says, worldwide what? Missions outreach. Worldwide missions outreach. Every penny that comes in on that line goes into a separate missionary account, and it goes to people like the Oryx and people like the Northcutts and people like the Irelands and the Oryx. It goes to these kind of people that are out there on the front lines building bridges, and every penny that comes in here goes out to these missionaries so that we can be a part in helping them to build bridges around the world. Have you ever wondered why God has blessed us in America? I mean, you think about the blessings that we have, so much more so than most countries. I mean, most of us don't realize how most people live, but did you know most of the world's population doesn't even own an electrical appliance? How many do you have in your home? Don't answer out loud, all right. Do you know most of the world's population doesn't have a car? They don't have any car. They don't even have a bike. Why would we have multiple cars? Do you know that there are so many millions and billions of people that have one set of clothes? And they just wash them and wear them over and over? And why is it we go to our closet and we got multiple sets of clothes? And a lot of the world, they got enough food for today. You know, and then we go to our refrigerator and it's full, and we go to our cupboards and we got all this food. But that, you know, and that's okay. I mean, you know, we're in America. That's where we were born. This is where we're at. But here's the deal. Why would God bless us that way? Well, here's the deal. Whenever God's blessings are evident in someone's life, can I just share this with you? The blessings aren't there for us to just simply raise our standard of living. They're there to raise our standard of giving. You hear that principle? Blessings come into our lives not so we can just say, oh boy, I can afford another $30 payment a month. I can go get another gadget. Oh, I got an extra $50 a month now. Oh, let's see. Man, I can go get another piece of furniture. I can go get something new. I can go get something better. No, when blessings come, biblically, they're there to increase our standard of giving, not our standard of living. Amen. And I want to challenge you to leave your comfort zone and get involved helping people build bridges. It's one of the most exciting things in the world. You know, Denise and I, naturally, through the years, our priority in our giving is always the first line. You know, because that's our local church. And that's the base and the hub of everything. Without that, we have no basis for anything else. So the local church is where we're being fed. It's where we're being ministered to. It's where we have a responsibility, our first responsibility. But then we've always considered it of the utmost importance that we be involved in worldwide missions outreach, helping others outside of Crossroads build bridges to reach this world with the gospel. Number three, and I got to really hurry now. I'm almost out of time. If you guys wouldn't listen so slow, I could have got through this quicker. I'm just kidding. I'm teasing. Number three, if we're going to build bridges, it's going to be by laying aside all prejudice. You know, the dictionary defines prejudice as an attitude of hostility directed against an individual, a group, or a race. And by the way, that's how the Jews felt about the Samaritans in Jesus' day. You see, Samaria was the northern part of Israel. It was part of Israel, but the people up there throughout history had intermingled with Gentile, pagan nations. And so your full-blooded Jews down here in southern Israel, they had a lot of prejudice against these people up in Samaria. And they had derogatory names for them, and they had a lot of hostility in their hearts towards them. But you know what's important to understand is that Jesus loved the Samaritans. You remember the woman at the well? You remember he told the disciples, you're going to be witnesses unto me in Judea, Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria? And go back to Acts chapter 8. Go back two chapters real quickly and I'm done. Acts chapter 8. This is the last passage we'll look at. In Acts 8, the church is kind of like all congregating at Jerusalem. And persecution comes. Great persecution. Verse 1 comes on the church. But the result of it was down in verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad because of the persecution, they went everywhere. And what were they doing? They were preaching the word. Now look at verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. I want you to get a statement in your handout. Philip laid aside all prejudice, and he became a bridge to the Samaritan people. He became a bridge to the Samaritan people. He laid aside all prejudice. Hey, folks, listen, if you give me your attention just for a minute, can I share something with you that I'm very adamant about and that you need to understand? We serve a God who is not prejudiced in any way. He does not love Americans more than another people group. He doesn't love us more than these pictures behind me on the screen, these people. God doesn't love one skin color more than another one. God doesn't look down from heaven at that guy in the middle and say, boy, the pigmentation in your skin is darker than her. I sure love you more. Isn't that childish? Amen. Well, boy, Dan Proctor, your skin pigmentation, it's a little bit lighter than that guy. So, man, I sure love you. No, we don't have a God that deals in an immature basis like that. God doesn't love a certain people group more than another, or a certain skin color more than another, or a certain nationality more than another. In your handout, it says that we serve a God who's not prejudiced. He equally loves every person in the world, and He desires for everyone to live with Him eternally. As we bring those pictures back up, He wants that guy in the middle to be with Him in heaven just as much as He wants me in heaven. God wants this guy over here, obviously from a cold weather climate. He wants him in heaven just as much as He wants me there. And if you have a problem with a person because of their skin pigmentation, if you have a problem with somebody because of their nationality or because of the way they dress or because of their financial status, can I say in love, you got a real serious heart infection. And until that heart infection's cleared up, you will never be a bridge builder for God. In fact, you'll be a barrier to people coming to Jesus. Hey, do you think there's people groups right here in Daytona that need to be reached? Yeah, there is. It's just going to take somebody who will put aside all prejudice, all preconceived ideas. They'll kind of leave their comfort zone and they'll say, you know, I'm going to go build a bridge to those people. And at least give them an opportunity to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want your life to have real meaning and real impact, get involved in worldwide bridge building by helping others build bridges around this world. These guys right here on the screen that'll be standing before us next Sunday, they just want to go build some bridges. And we need to get involved helping them. Next Sunday, we'll begin our 15th annual missions conference. And we're going to focus on this thought. You ready for this? Here's the thought of the conference. You see it up on the screen. Reach. And then under that, it says, reach beyond yourself, beyond your world. That's the idea of missions. I'm going to reach. I'm going to stretch myself outside of just my little get up in the morning, go to work, come home, watch TV, get up, go to work, watch TV, get up, go to work, come home, eat, watch TV, get my paycheck, go to the bank, pay the bills, get up, Monday, go back to work. See, missions is exciting because you know that your life's having some impact beyond just that. And I would ask you to do three things this week in preparation for the conference. Number one, pray. Amen. Pray for the conference. Pray for the missionary families. Pray for my brother Steve, who will be bringing us God's word. Pray for that conference. Number two is be faithful. Just purpose. You know what? This is more important than my favorite TV show. This is more important than anything else. Purpose, I'm going to be faithful to the services of this conference. You say, when are they? Next Sunday morning, Sunday night at 6, as always, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And I'm going to purpose to be faithful. I'm going to come out and hear Brother Steve Proctor preach God's Word. And each night of the conference, we're going to let one of these missionaries take about 10 minutes. And you're going to hear from their own mouth why in the world they'd go to Arctic Siberia. Why in the world would they want to go to Africa? Why would they want to go to the Ukraine? You're going to hear from these missionaries why they're doing what they're doing. And it's going to be exciting, life-changing. And then the last thing is this. I want you this week to ask the Lord to speak to your heart through His Word, okay, and show you how you can get more involved in this thing of building bridges around the world. Your life can make a difference in so many other people's lives. There can be people in heaven because of you. You know what's neat about it? Here's what's cool. Is the Apostle Paul taught this principle, okay? When I give to help the Northcutts to go to Arctic Siberia, as they build bridges and they lead people to Christ, the Bible teaches that fruit that the Northcutts reap, that abounds to our account in heaven. So when we get to heaven, I fully expect people from Arctic Siberia to come up to me and say, you're from Crossroads, aren't you? You gave to help our missionary that came up and told us of Jesus Christ. And that's why we're here. That's the exciting thing about missions. Is that the impact of your life extends into eternity. That's the exciting thing about building bridges to reach the world. Is there a cause? I said, is there a cause? Is there a reason to do this, yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and whether you believe it or not, Christ does. Christ believes there's a reason. Christ believes there's a cause. This is the heart and the passion of Jesus Christ. Will you help build bridges to reach the world? Let's go to the Lord in prayer.